Hello and welcome to Grumpy Offshore Gamers Cast, or something. I don't really know what to call this, guys, but we're here.
Perfect.
Exactly.
That was perfect. That was great.
Right. I thought it was as close as I could get to amalgamating our names. Mm. But yeah, as usual, you're here with me, Pete, and along with me from the Grumpy Gamers, I've got Ben.
Hello.
Your camera fuzzed. I thought I didn't have you for a second. And from the Offshore Games Cast, we have the full complement, don't we?
Yeah, it's been a year since this has happened.
Indeed. And could I even join last time? I think I joined. No, I joined one, right?
Did you?
You had the second one, didn't you?
I think. I can't remember.
It was me and Kirk the first time.
Yes,
And then Dave couldn't join
Dylan, one. You came to us.
Okay, yeah. Yes. Yep, that's what it is.
There's never going to be an opportunity for all of us together. It just won't happen.
No. Yeah. I mean, you should try working with Eddie. It's very difficult to get him anywhere useful anyway. So
yeah, he was a problem child.
He remains a problem adult. It's just kind of the way it is, sadly. But here we are, approaching Christmas. And I think it's a pretty darn good opportunity to start looking at games for 2023, isn't it, guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of repeats from what we talked about last year.
Yeah, I was going to say, we did the same thing last year, and I'd like to say that basically none of what we talked about got released.
Nope.
Nothing happened, we start again.
I suppose before we do, though, we should both point out, both shows, I mean, should point out, that our Game of the Year shows are still to come.
Well, no, Offshore Gamescast was last week.
Really?
When this comes out, two weeks ago.
My God.
Yeah.
Wow. I haven't listened to it yet.
You're behind the times. Yeah. If anything, they're all decided up, so.
Yeah, we did our fights.
God.
Yeah, it was a longie, wasn't it? Your episodes are like, they cut down to basically an hour now, but this one was a bit of a beast.
Yeah, it was our longest one yet.
Hours for this one.
Yep.
Yeah. Nice.
Going back to our first episode style.
Yeah.
I stuck through. It took me a couple of sittings, but they're the best Game of the Year shows. that's how it works.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for sitting through it. Just quick plug. Go to offshoregamescast.com. Click on the Game of the Year 2022 tab. You see all of our stuff there, and including from these guys, whole bunch of guest posts of all their games of the year, or you guys kind of previewing your game of the year, which is exciting.
Yeah, that what you do on that website is fantastic, isn't it? I mean, when Pete and I looked at it, and Pete, you said yourself, Pete, you're like, this is fucking professional. This is good.
Thank you.
Yeah, the way that you bring together like loads of different indie podcasts. Yeah.
We send you a scrappy Word doc and you turn it into that. It's fantastic. Wonderful.
Yeah, it's once you have one post kind of designed and ready, it's not that bad.
My life's like a little banana peel falling apart and just like decaying every second. And Dylan will send me something and go, how's this for the website? And I'll go, wow, yeah, that looks amazing. Again, he goes, all right, cool, thanks. I thought it was shit. And then I'll just like, all right, I'm just going to keep decaying over here.
That's fair.
Yeah, so I'm the equivalent of Dylan on our podcast and just send these guys like different things. Oh, I've done this. And they just go, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I should point out,
I hope more people come to the website now. Like,
yeah. We should point out, Ben is our version of Dylan, except he can't make a Google Doc.
There's some lines you've got to draw. You've got to draw a few lines, and you've got to say you can't do a few things. As soon as you do something once, you know, get a reputation for answering the phone, you're forever on calls. So that's the philosophy.
To be fair as well, Eddie always has done well at not doing things by weaponized incompetence. So
yes, absolutely.
Yeah. It's a good strategy.
Completely untrustworthy.
But, yes, I mean, for one thing, I've got to go and check out your Game of the Year show. I hadn't realized that was this week's release. That's fantastic. And we will also be releasing ours, week after this.
28th, right? Yeah, 28th of December. So, yes, when this comes out, it'll be next week.
Yeah, which I can't promise will be as long as yours, but it will probably be just as argumentative, I'd imagine.
No, yeah, you guys are sticking to the same format as last year.
Yes.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. We've got Deadbeat Punk, who he hosts another podcast, What the Fuck Do You Want podcast. He's coming on as our fourth member because Kirk can't make it this year, unfortunately. So got four of us. We're going to have four games each, and we're going to be group stages through to knockouts and the works.
Very objective.
I like it. It's a cool system. It's a little different. I like it.
Yeah.
And it comes up with the objective winner, so
it does. I do like that we've gone back to four people so that we can always have a 2-2 split. I like that.
Yeah, we need to figure that out. I put out like a little like picture of the rules and stuff, and I was like, and I just said like some innovative way of deciding on the other 2-2 split.
Yet to be decided, but that is.
Yeah, to be determined.
Yeah, that's gonna go terribly. No, it'll be brilliant, but that'll be out on the 28th of December. So I suppose we should probably talk about this show more importantly. Really, we're going to look at a little bit at 2022 itself, and then we're going to look into the games for next year. We obviously aren't going to talk about them all because we don't have 17 hours. At least do not say you've got 17 hours, any of you.
Oh, no, I blocked off specifically 17 hours for this. I'm ready.
Oh, God. Right, okay.
Dave's just woken up, so he's got the full day ahead of him. So that's okay.
Yeah, my energy reserves are at its peak right now. Are you kidding
me? Yeah, he's at peak. He's at peak, man.
He seems in such a good mood as well. That's what I like. No.
I'm smiling. I'm showing a little bit of teeth.
I'm glad. We'll see how it goes when we get to Skull and Bones. But before then, there will be other games. But before we do, let's look at 2022, guys. And really, it's do we think this was a good year for games?
I think it was a decent year. I think it was carried by indies.
Fair. Mm.
But a lot of what we wanted from this year got delayed, which is, you know, it's fine. Better than crunching, I think we all agree on that. But
or releasing Cyberpunk style, yes.
Or releasing a broken game. But it felt kind of light, but at the same time, especially towards the end of the year, it kind of all happened at once.
Yeah, totally agree with that. It felt like there were two big months.
Yeah, two months of this year were ridiculously good.
Yep.
And there was just a kind of a chasm in between. Because obviously, I mean, February this year was still a phenomenal month for releases. I will also say from my side, this year was much, much better than 2021. February alone, I would actually argue, was better than 2021 in general. And then, the November rush kind of matched that again, albeit with less games I could play because I don't have a PlayStation. Which does limit it slightly.
That'll cut it down.
Yeah, just especially when the biggest one is God of War.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a limiter for me.
Pete, you didn't miss much.
Oh. Less aggressive.
I haven't played it yet, so.
That's why. Okay. But okay, so generally speaking, we think it was a positive year.
Year I thought was good, yeah. Yeah, as you say, two big months.
It was fun.
The middle of the year wasn't, though.
No, the summer was pretty dull. I like how
it started. It all of it seemed so exciting, and you had such big releases towards the beginning of the year that ended up, at least for me, just being like, oh my god, this is finally... Wait, why does it kind of suck? And then just kind of forgetting literally the first half of the year, and it wasn't until this big November rush, I was like, all right, we're getting some redemption now. But like, I'm looking back at like Dying Light 2, Horizon, and I'm just like, these were just little quicksands that were just like 2 feet deep. So I didn't go down too deep, but I'm unhappy.
But this year was like giving somebody a bonus at work. So you haven't given them a pay rise, you've just given them a bonus. You gave them a bonus at the start of the year. They went, oh, that's fantastic. Oh, thanks a lot. Then a few months later, they just totally forgotten about that bonus. And then they're harping on about that pay rise again. And that's what this year was. So it was bookended, and we had lovely Elden Ring and then lovely November stuff. But yeah, I think much better than 2021, like you said, Pete, because that game of the year selection for 2021 was pretty rough. So at least we didn't have that.
Two. Are you joking? Like, anyway, yes, I was very pleased about that.
I'm going to even pose a question here. With how many games come out, like, almost every week, is it possible to have a bad year in gaming?
2021. Yeah. It takes two, one game
so,
a year.
You think so? Bad's maybe a little strong.
Yeah, I think it's... let's say big commercial hits, it's bad. But I think there's a tremendous amount of other games. I mean, look at the games that you play, Pete, and the games that that Eddie plays. Like, a lot of them don't even get a look in somewhere else. And I heard that, you know, you were playing Medieval Dynasty, was it, Dave, as well? Like, Eddie had that in our Game of the Year last year. Like, it was when it was in Early Access. You know, these are the stuff that you guys play, and that's, like, under the radar. You see those as big games. But, yeah, when you look at, like, the Jeff Keighley show, it can seem a bit disappointing in 2021, I think.
That's a good point. We're very in tune with a lot of these smaller games.
When you're keeping track of so many things in the gaming space, you're on these websites every day, it's kind of hard to forget something that you see, especially if it kind of sticks out to you. So it's like, oh, Medieval Dynasty, it's like, all right, I'll remember that, and it's like 2 weeks go by and it's like, oh right, there's that, here, let me try it.
Yeah,
but any normal person is going to go through Game Pass and look at it and go, I'm just going to play Fortnite.
Oh god, the normal people play Fortnite.
Yeah,
they changing do. My worldview.
We're the weirdos.
We're playing Warzone, buddy. We're playing Warzone.
Okay, that's definitely not normal either. But no. Okay, well, we've kind of circled back to a good point there, because I do think it is the industry generally is being carried by indies and by third parties. And I think, is it safe to say that 2023 is looking similar, guys? I mean, we'll come to the list of games we've put down here, but there's a lot more in third parties than there are in the others.
A lot more.
And the only one of our categories that comes close after that is indies, which are almost entirely third parties anyway. So it's going to be interesting. I feel we should get into the meat of this, really. And let's talk about the games we're looking forward to. So we'll start with those third parties. And this is not in order, and this is in no way a complete list. But let's start off with the Dead Space remake, Hogwarts Legacy, Octopath Traveler 2. I mean, Jedi Survivor's coming out in March, isn't it? And then if we look a bit further, we've got Diablo 4, Armored Core 6. I know people are going to appreciate Skull and Bones in there as well. Atomic Heart. Honestly thought I was going to have to pause there. I was hoping you were going to cut the list slowly. But yeah.
just screaming.
Exactly.
I think we kind of blew the moment a little bit before we were recording. We should have saved it for like a Skull and Bones. I can't wait for this one.
I know
people like Dave are going to be very excited, and all of a sudden I just slammed the laptop.
I would happily, it would be amazing. But let's, starting from that first half of the list there, which ones do we think are we most looking forward to? Ben, you've talked about Hogwarts Legacy a lot. I'm guessing that's still one you're pumped for.
I think there's a couple of fans here of the old Hogwarts Legacy.
Last year, both Dave and I called Hogwarts Legacy our most anticipated game of 2022.
Ooh.
And now here we are in 20. And I was thinking about this because I was like, Dave, I think, is grabbing some Harry Potter stuff up there.
Nice.
He's a wizard.
I felt kind of weird. I was talking with Dave about this going into it. Like, are we just going to do Hogwarts Legacy again? Like, it kind of is.
Unless something else dramatically came out that was some well-known franchise or like a game that is finally coming back after like 15 years that was to blow things out of the water. Personally, if there's a franchise or world that I could live in personally, it's Harry Potter. So there, to be able to run around in this massive open world game, exploring, doing all the fun stuff in that traditional RPG style, but just going to class and fucking Avada, just killing kids and shit. That's what I want to do.
Just kidding. Sorry.
Such a heartwarming story for the first half. Okay, yeah.
There was that like headline going around of like, you can murder and torture in Hogwarts Legacy.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, Do you kill or not? Yeah, exactly. this game looks good though. It looks really spicy. It looks like it could actually be appealing to those people who grew up on Harry Potter and are now in their late 20s, early 30s. Like, because the average gamer is 30 years old, and this kind of is dancing between the two camps of the younger generation, but also pushing it towards more standard RPG. So yeah, really looking forward to it.
And how, this is an interesting question for the offshore guys in particular. How do you guys feel about the exclusive content on PlayStation for that? We heard about the mission specific to them. How do you guys
feel? I've always thought shit like that was the most bullshit. Like, I remember the big thing with Destiny back in the day and how PlayStation it was. It's like, all right, you're getting this helmet, you're getting this mission, you're getting all this stuff. If it was more so like a much smaller timed exclusive deal, I don't think it would be as much like as big of a deal. But for something like Harry Potter and how much I care about it, and I'm very keen on keeping my PlayStation and my Switch as exclusive boxes, I'm just like, you sack of fucking shit. I want to do everything that I can possibly do, and I don't want to have to buy a specific version that I'm going to be less enticed to have fun overall just to play one more mission. I'll even spend $5. I'll put my credit card right in the disc tray. I don't fucking give a shit. Like,
yeah, it's, I'm going to be playing on PlayStation, so I'm kind of like, hey, whatever, I get this mission. But yeah, it is, yeah, I don't like stuff like that. I think, like, if it was at least cosmetics, it's like, all right.
Yeah.
It still can be slightly annoying, but whatever. But to have, like, a whole mission in there, especially when it is a franchise like Harry Potter that people really care about, it kind of sucks.
And this isn't even like a pre-order mission, like stuff like Assassin's Creed does, where you still have almost the opportunity to get the mission later or like buy it from the store for a few bucks or some, or you just like, most people are going to pre-order anyway. This is like, unless you have $550 extra dollars, you won't be able to play this mission.
Exactly.
Yeah. But the mission looks cool as fuck as well.
it looks awesome.
It does look fucking cool as shit.
And that marketing and the way they've done that, it fucking works because they're all getting on PlayStation.
Oh, yeah.
It fucking works.
Yeah, so you get that whole mission and then don't you get like a whole extra shop out of it?
Yeah, there we go.
You can walk into a different store or something.
Yeah, I think it opens up a whole other shop for you. I'd imagine it's just cosmetic stuff, but
That will be at least 30 seconds to 1 minute of content, and I'm happy about it. I'm all in.
Okay, so we haven't dampened the expectations with that horrible, horrible situation, but fine, yeah.
Not one bit.
No.
Were there any others in that top half of the list
that
particularly stand out for you that you're particularly pumped for?
Diablo 4 is the big one, I think, for the year. For me, Diablo 4 is probably my most anticipated game. I love Diablo. This looks amazing. This open world that they're putting together, the 10 hours that people have got to play already, I've got tremendous feedback. There's going to be an open beta. I've already looked to pre-order it, but can't unless you do it through PlayStation. Not gonna give them my coin.
Fucking PlayStation.
I cannot wait for Diablo 4. It just looks fucking tremendous. I just wish it was out sooner, and it's felt like years since they announced it, because they announced it just prior to the release of Diablo 2 Resurrected.
Yeah.
The re-release of it, and that seems like fucking forever ago.
Yeah, so, it's been a while.
I want that game. And I wanted the Activision deal, so I didn't have to buy it, but...
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be happening by then.
Fuck it. Fuck it, whatever.
You might have to pay good money for it, Ben.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to talk about a game that was announced years ago, and it's not in the little top release date section here, fucking Dead Island 2 seems to finally... broken its hand through the cemetery ground and is like trying to crawl out now. And to be honest, compared to my reaction to playing some of Dying Light 2 and just it feeling like such a different game, I am much more excited for this zombie adventure than I was for Dying Light 2 now. More of that classic, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
It's gonna be shit.
It probably is.
I'm just calling it.
I still feel like it'll be at least much more akin to what I was expecting instead of like some grand like Walker New Vegas thing that we got earlier this year.
If it's good shit, that's all right. But like, if you know what you're getting, then it's like, yeah, okay, this is inherently shit, but I like it. It's fun. But it's such a fine line. They used to be able to walk that line a lot more easily when there were fewer games out and fewer games had gone down that direction. Then you get a new Saints Row, and I know you didn't mind Saints Row, but you get a new Saints Row, and then this happens. So I don't know. I think I hope that every game's good, but it's probably gonna be shit.
And there's so much drama surrounding it too. I feel like there's no way I don't go into it just having some sort of like giddiness just to find out, like,
yeah, that's great,
how
though.
It was made. I'm like, what? Like, I walk in into like the tutorial area and I'm looking around, I'm like, what's broken already? It's like, what can I fuck with? What's going on here?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope it's good.
You don't sound like you do, Ben, but sure.
No, Jedi Survivor was banged on about after the Game Awards recently as well, because that trailer looked quite good.
The trailer.
Did you guys play the first one, The Fallen Order?
Yeah, I didn't finish it.
I did.
Good man.
I didn't. So the only one here that did was Dave.
I beat it on easy mode.
Shame there.
The backtracking is what did it for me through every level, having to just replay it all again backwards.
Honestly, traversal in general, though, just like traveling the environments was unpleasant in that game. Unpleasant. There's a lot of good stuff in there, but so annoying.
The map and the traversal was fucking awful.
Yeah, that's what made me that. And honestly, like, I'm not the biggest Star Wars guy, to be fair, but the story was not exactly hooking me in any way.
See, I think I talked about it before it even came out, that I thought it was a really good idea to have this Jedi Survivor game. And you could have had such a cool mechanic with, like, keeping your lightsaber hidden at all times. So I think I kind of went into it with a bad idea, because within seconds you've got a lightsaber and you're pulling it out.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Yeah. It's not really what I was looking for in this anyway.
It just seems to be more like the same
thief style thing. Yeah. Where it was your panic button was the lightsaber, but then you attracted attention. But yeah, I mean, getting back to the topic at hand, the new one, the trailer did look really good, and I am vaguely excited for Survivor. It just depends what they've done to fix it.
Don't you think with Star Wars that, I mean, I get it with the new shows as well, where I used to love everything Star Wars. Like, anything that came out, all the games, like, I definitely play them. I definitely always complete them. Like, I can't remember a Star Wars game that I fell off until Fallen Order. And same with the new TV shows. Like, I haven't even finished Obi-Wan.
Has it not?
Okay. I did The Mandalorian, but then I didn't do Boba Fett, and I did an episode or two. So it's just like, I don't know, like, you're just falling off this stuff. It just seems to be the same on the same, and it's just hasn't got the same hold for me these days.
I mean, it's like the same thing with Marvel, right? When there's so much of it constantly that you have to put, basically, every week you have to be dedicating time to it to keep up with everything. It's too much, and it's fatigue. It's too much.
Yeah.
I mean, every little spider web is just another sense of oversaturation for whatever they're pumping out, Star Wars specifically, because that there is no pause to that grindstone, especially with more games coming, more TV shows, a whole new trilogy, and to be able to even keep up with any of this is exhausting. So, I mean, you really do got to stay dedicated to, like, oh, I'm going to stick with the games, or I'm going to pick this one show. But because of how connected they are, it's just like, how can you not take 2 weeks off and then just, like, glue your eyes open and just force it in?
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, we didn't end up very positive there on that one, but good. Okay.
I'm excited to play it, though, you know.
There we go. Called it back at the end. And then I saw we had quite a few more added in here, which include Resident Evil 4, a Suicide Squad, and I like whoever added Lord of the Rings Gollum. Excellent choice.
That would be me.
Yes, it would.
It is exciting to have a Lord of the Rings game in general happening again. Yeah. And, I mean, to be honest, it doesn't even look like anything special. It looks like a 360 era stealth game.
Yeah, it doesn't look special, does it?
It doesn't. But it's
just
Lord of the Rings
in sticks game. That's all it is.
Yeah, but you're putting it in Middle Earth. You're playing as Gollum. I'm all in for that. that's all I need.
That's fair. That's a good take on it, because I was watching the trailer again today before we did this, and I was like, there is nothing really here apart
no,
from it
is
Lord of the Rings. We even know how the story ends. Like, I don't...
Yeah.
Like, what is here?
Yeah. It doesn't look like anything... This is not like the Hogwarts Legacy for Lord of the Rings fans. That's not what this is. But I'm taking what I can get.
I'd rather have another Middle-Earth game. Give me shadow of food truck. I don't know. Just give me something.
Shadow of food truck. Classic.
Just let me run around doing that stuff. Like, it's just fun.
That is, I think, what most of us are looking for with that. But we'll make do with Gollum. We'll make do with Gollum. And then who in particular added Suicide Squad? Because it's not one I'm excited for.
I threw it on there. I'm also not necessarily like super excited for it. I just get more and more I have my eyes just on co-op games in general. And they have said that you could play this co-op, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, I'm only confident of that because you said it.
Okay. If we keep saying it, they'll make it happen. Yeah, so you can play as co-op, 100% fact.
It's got Squad in the name, right?
Yeah, so. Exactly. And every time they show a trailer for this, it reminds me more of that, like, that first Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy movie, that style of humor, which I really enjoy. So every time I see it, I'm like, this trailer's making me laugh. So I'm kind of excited for it.
Yeah, I think Kirk on our pod was excited for that one as well.
Yeah, this is why I discounted it. The moment I hear Kirk's interested, I'm like, oh, never mind.
I retract my statement. I think this game looks awful.
Very good. Just hadn't heard that Kirk was involved. But yes, I do believe he was excited by this game as well.
I'm excited overall, but I'm holding on to certain reservations because after the work that they've done building up the Arkham series, that's kind of contained in its own thing. And now we're kind of doing something different, but we're also turning all the good guys into bad guys. And it's kind of fun. It's kind of cool looking. We got a lot of crazy stuff. And also, bad Batman popped up. And that's always exciting. Anytime a Batman thing comes up, gotta love it.
I like the fact that you're just able to pull references to these things from around the room or on your person.
Yes.
I mean, what do we, oh, you know what? While we're talking about it.
Why not? Yeah. I do like the, you can tell here that normally it's you guys who use video and we do not. As you see our lovely backgrounds here where I have plain walls and Ben has a kitchen.
Yep.
And then you do have well-displayed setups.
You guys have full gaming memorabilia.
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
I like the idea of Ben with just a really long wired headset just going back there and like making a meal real quick.
He is a snack.
Just probably to get a snack. I've got the fridge right next to me for a beer, immediate.
Mm-hmm. You guys can't see
next to what I'm sitting to. This is the only part that looks good.
Okay, right.
Good, yeah, but that's the only part that matters. It's all good. It's all
exactly.
Good.
Camera perspective.
I just want to, just before we kind of move on, and we did mention it earlier, just to say, because a lot of people will be excited in January, because there are a lot of big games coming out in January, February, March, Dead Space remake coming out, and especially after the Callisto Protocol coming out. And even the people that didn't like Callisto Protocol, those absolute madmen, they might well be excited for Dead Space Remake. And I think that's going to be a really interesting one that comes out because I said it last week. I think a lot of people are going to have to be pretending that they have Dead Space. Yeah, that is exactly what I remember in my head and all that kind of stuff because of the reaction to Callisto Protocol has been so negative. And I do think it's incredibly similar to Dead Space. And I think a lot of people are going to have to be, I just think it's going to be very interesting when that comes out, what the reviews are going to say. Because I think people are misremembering the nostalgia around it. I think it's an excellent game, incredible, but I think they're misremembering how the game played.
Ben, I think you're misreading the general population and the fact that they will praise the new game, the new Dead Space, for the same things they slammed Callisto Protocol for.
Yes. I know that's what's going to happen, and I'm just interested to see how that's going to maneuver, how people are going to play the mental gymnastics to get, oh yeah, that's amazing, and this is shit. Is it?
they're just gonna have separate Twitter accounts, Ben, so it doesn't seem linked. It's the same people.
And all the while, I'll be praising both, so it's fine.
Callisto came out, and it didn't get reviewed so critically. And because there was a lot of hype leading up to it as like that Dead Space spiritual successor. It's doing a little different. It's more melee combat. But because overall, I feel like it kind of tanked a little bit. It's only becoming marketing for Dead Space come January.
Yes. It is. I think that's the right take. And I think it's really unfortunate. And maybe if Dead Space Remake wasn't coming out, I think it wouldn't have been viewed so critically because Dead Space was right on the horizon. And I think if people just took it for what it was, and if this same game had been released when Dead Space had been released, I think this would have been an absolute success. Like, take dial back the graphics and everything. But yeah, I just I think this is one of the, I think Callisto Protocol is going to be one of those games that we're going to look back in a few years and be like, ah, that's a real gem that at the time wasn't well received. It's like Alien Isolation. I think it's going to be the same type of reception it's going to get.
This is really useful, though, because this is spoilers for what Ben's going to say on Game of the Year, so I can correct my responses for that.
I mean,
that's good.
Pete, did you play Callisto Protocol?
Not yet, no. I refuse to pay full price for 90%.
Absolutely, not at all.
I'm not as high on it as Ben. I don't think it's bad, but I think it's a fun action game. Where it disappointed me is that I was expecting something scarier. All the scares I felt were extremely predictable. Like, as soon as you see like one little crack in the wall, I've literally said something's gonna come out of there right now. 2 seconds later, you walk a few feet, something jumps out. It does the jump scare noise. None of them actually got me.
Right. It's a bit Chekhov's gun with delivery. Okay.
And they were really, I mean, Ben, maybe you experienced something different, but they were really hammering in like all these crazy death animations you're going to get. There's a trophy to see all of them. Every single time I died, it was just a very slight variation of them punching my head in. Like, there was nothing of like throwing me into things or getting crushed in certain ways. That's what I wanted, because then dying just kind of became like, oh, okay, instead of this cool thing that could be kind of exciting.
Oh no, my audio just cut out there.
I honestly thought you'd left in disgust.
I was just about to come back. The first point that you said about the scary thing, I totally agree. But it's an action horror, and Dead Space wasn't scary. So, I mean, the new one might be, the remake. I think that's how they'll make the remake different, because they'll try and make it scary. The first one is not scary. I mean, there'll be people out there saying, "Oh, it really is." Whatever.
This is the thing, because I think even Eddie's one of those who says it's a bit scary, but it's the atmosphere, not the actual game.
It's creepy. With this new one, they're bringing that up more to give you more of that sense. It's more of that suspense of that thriller instead of just being like a horror game.
Yeah.
And that might set it apart. That really might. The death animations, I thought they were pretty awesome, but that's just...
To be fair, Ben's probably seen more of them, knowing how he goes.
I have seen a few.
Well, I mean, I think that's already a pretty good selection. Are there any other sort of third-party releases that you guys can't avoid mentioning?
Like a Dragon. Okay, fine.
We can't brush over Like a Dragon.
Ben's left and disgusted. Ben,
sorry, Ben, listen, we got to talk about him.
I don't know what's going on with this internet connection, but we're cool. We're good.
So, I mean, really, the one I'm more excited for, I don't know. I know Dave likes them. Pete and Ben, are you guys like into the Yakuza games at all?
I tried, but I'm not.
All right, Pete.
What did you start with, though? What did you try with?
I think I started with 5.
False.
Oh, bad. That was your first mistake.
At least it wasn't 3.
That's true.
Always start with 0. Always.
Yeah, because that is one of the newer upgraded ones, right?
So 0 came out and was... It acted as a prequel to the first one, and then after that they came out with like Yakuza Kiwami, which is kind of like the first one, and then Kiwami 2, which is the second one. But 0 is by far the best starting point in that series, and really kicks it off, and it makes the first one much better, which I know, Dave, we've talked about that a lot.
I don't know how you play the first one without playing 0. I just do not see how. I just don't.
There's quite a bit of passion in this, and I like it.
Oh yeah, we love these games.
I'm glad I phrased it the way I did, because it's vociferous. I like it. Yeah.
The fact that I started playing this game and I'm reading subtitles and I'm running around just punching things and I'm like 16 hours in and I'm reading subtitles and I'm goddamn crying on this first game of the series I've ever played. I'm like, yeah, this is something special.
Okay, that is a good review.
So Like a Dragon Gaiden, The Man Who Erased His Name is the one I'm more excited for. So that's kind of, I don't know what you guys know, but with
nothing, you have to tell us.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's going to be awkward because I didn't actually know that game at all.
Okay, so this is, well, first, rebranding. They are now just called Like a Dragon instead of Yakuza because that's more what it actually translates to.
big thumbs down from Dave there. Lovely.
So they came out with Yakuza 7, Like a Dragon, whole new protagonists. Kiryu is kind of done. That's it. But not actually anymore because he's coming back full force right now. So Like a Dragon Gaiden, the man who erased his name, is what he was doing between Yakuza 6 and Yakuza 7. Right. And kind of filling in that gap where he tries, he kind of goes off, he becomes like a monk and completely.
Yeah. It could be interesting gameplay.
Okay. Yeah, he has to erase his identity essentially because him being attached to the orphanage, going back to 3 and all that, it's dangerous for them. I am just excited to have this man back in these games. Okay.
The only way this game should end is full circle by him blowing up the Millennium Tower.
But they don't get it.
Okay. No, they don't.
We'll just nod along.
Every single game, the Millennium Tower blows up. No matter what, it explodes. They rebuild it and it explodes.
And like you're walking around partway through the game, you're seeing all like the renovation and like the tape, and like you're just waiting. It's mid halfway being rebuilt, and it blows up again. And it's like, all right, it becomes a joke. It's like, all right, what point in Yakuza 5 is this going to blow up now?
Yep.
And when do we get the Yakuza game about planning permission? Because surely that's going to come into it at some stage. Like,
yeah.
Someone's going to be asking questions.
Yeah.
But okay, so what I'm sensing from this is it's for the narrative more than anything that you're looking forward to this.
Totally. I think that classically they've had that beat 'em up style, which I think is enjoyable. They switched to turn-based with 7. I know Dave and I wish it didn't.
Oh, you didn't like that.
It didn't, but I just stuck it on easy mode. I also don't think they did a great job with the turn-based combat. But I am with these games, I'm pretty much all here for the narrative and for running around your little open hub area and doing a crap ton of mini games and stupid goofy side missions that it can weirdly range from super emotional to just absolute nonsense.
Okay.
Can you tell me how to get to the station?
Again, you guys don't get it.
go.
I love it, but I have no frame of reference. Yeah. Okay.
It's so
we're big fans.
It's
hence,
fantastic, though.
Yeah, so this is why we had to talk about it. It seems like it's going to be a good, fun year for Yakuza or Like a Dragon fans.
Mm.
Okay. I hope you're right. I do hope you're right. And the final one I just want to tick off, Aliens Dark Descent. Who added this?
I think I added it, yeah.
I thought you might have done, Ben. I thought you might have done. Are you not? Yeah. Are you not scarred by Aliens games yet?
this one's a bit something different. So this one, we got a brief bit of gameplay for it there was some kind of event. It was very short, and it was presented by the guy from Kinda Funny.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember what it was, but it was about 20 seconds of gameplay, and it almost looked a bit XCOM, but not turn-based. So you're like directing your squad from this isometric kind of viewpoint. I thought it might be something that might actually for once work with an alien game.
Yeah.
Interested. I think it's coming to all consoles. So, and it probably won't be a full price release, and it'll be nicely priced to get involved with. So yeah, love alien games. I always give them a chance. They're always shit. But this one might be better.
I was wondering when you'd just give up for being burned, but no, you still got another one.
Nope, never. Okay, no, I won't do that, Pete. I'm not that type of guy.
Right. Yes. Well, I think it is probably time to start talking about some more console specific.
Well, I think Dave, you want to mention just one more, right?
There's not too much to talk about, but Judas came out and it's basically the next Bioshock and it's just going to be doing the same old shit where he's going to be having a big message. We're going to do hand powers and shooty guns and I'm very excited. Okay.
It is Bioshock. There it is. It is just Bioshock. It is absolutely Bioshock. Like, you see that trailer? Oh, why don't you just call it Bioshock?
Or some shock. Okay, cool. I don't know. Marital shock. Exactly. I don't know what's going on. Give me.
Well, the way they were talking about it, even the trailer, it almost seems like they were referencing the whole lighthouse situation, and I was ready for it to be like BioShock something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, yeah. The trailer was just that. Like anybody watching that who even knows of BioShock in a passing way would have just BioShock.
I'm pretty sure BioShock actually got far enough into like mainstream culture that people who don't play games would know that's BioShock.
I also think the trailer wasn't that impressive. It's just that it was BioShock, so everybody calls it impressive.
Yeah,
like, that's fine. Like
you look at it. You know that Ken Levine's behind it. He's got his vision. He's trying to tell some big, grand, like, learn your lesson story. But then you also just kind of see, like, ooh, fire come out the hand. Cool, cool. You just want to do that.
I'm sensing a theme with your games. Like, we've gone through, like, Batman, Suicide Squad, Harry Potter. A lot of shooting stuff. Yep, okay. Yep. Just without conventional guns most of the time.
Yeah, shooting stuff that's not just a typical gun.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, yeah, that's fun, though. Yeah. It works.
It's the fact that you've got the props behind you that concerns me slightly. But yes, let's talk console specific. And to start with, I'm going to do Xbox. And really, we're only going to highlight three here, I know. But I feel the reason I want to move on to this is obviously because, well, the only game I'm really, really looking forward to is in there. And that is, of course, Starfield. And we are also going to mention Redfall and Stalker 2. But, I mean, much like you guys in Hogwarts, I listed three games I was looking forward to in 2022. I got two of them in February, and the other one was Starfield. Sam, I'm still bloody waiting for it. So, to be honest, it's just been a long time coming for Bethesda games, really. Like, I've wanted ES6 since about 3 weeks after Skyrim, when I'd finished it three times over. You know, and I like Bethesda games. I want to see what they can do, especially now they've got all the more funding and all the more sort of support in doing it.
New engine as well, right?
Yeah, that's going to help a hell of a lot.
Took them 25 goddamn fucking years. The same amount of time that they had the idea to do a fucking space RPG, they finally switched over their stupid engine.
I mean, it might just be that they finally got to one big enough that they went, this doesn't work anymore, guys.
I would hope so. Yeah. Like, we imagine the Fallout continents. 4 building, and it's like, all right, build your ship, make it fly. And it's like, I've been under the map for half an hour.
Yes, yeah. I am looking forward to that, though. You know?
I can only imagine this engine is insane because they put all their time into making the engine and no time into renaming it. Because the first one's called Creative Engine and this one's just called Creative Engine 2. The engine's going to be fucking phenomenal.
Yeah. It's got a sequel, Ben. We know it was a good engine. I mean,
absolutely.
It's I don't know. I think there's obviously it's a Bethesda game, so there's some things you've got to take for granted, like falling through the bottom of your ship at least once or twice in the game. That's guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly discovering subterranean parts of worlds that you weren't meant to find either. You know, and I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we've got floating creatures, items, animals, all sorts of other interesting bugs, and people doing very interesting living routines that aren't really living, but. They're going to be so much better for being new.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've typically been in the boat of, as long as it's not like crashing your game or affecting performance, if a bug is just kind of silly, like a silly visual glitch to just see and it's not really affecting anything, I'm not harsh on that. I think it could just be kind of fun.
I honestly enjoy them quite a lot. So I'm glad someone else feels that way. But I suppose, as well as that, I think... How many of you guys were interested in Star Citizen, or still are, or have played it? No?
No.
Okay, fair enough. Well, it's... I suppose this is the first time I'm seeing someone I legitimately trust do a game on that kind of scale, because, I mean, Star Citizen's actual existence scale, not the one they promised. because Starfield feels like it's going to be that kind of experience, but done by people I trust and who didn't need to take a huge donation from Kickstarter and then... still drag their heels about releasing the game. So, yeah, it's by far and away the one I'm looking forward to most. Ben, I know you're looking to play it as well.
Yeah, it's kind of got that, I mean, from what you were just saying there, it's almost got that No Man's Sky almost scale applied to, with a story and a creative vision behind it and all this kind of stuff. So, yeah, it does make out like it's going to be something quite special, but there is that old thing of just the sheer number of planets and places you can visit and stuff like that. Like, how will that actually pan out? How big will the game actually be? Just in a general kind of playthrough, that type of stuff. But look, chuck space into any game and it goes up a couple of points on my thing. But then you put it on a Bethesda game and an RPG and I'm like, yeah, okay, fine. I'm all in day one. I'm all in. I'm surprised that the hype around this is big, obviously. And it's so important to Xbox. Like, this game is monumental to Xbox. And I'm in the camp, actually, that I don't think it will be very buggy on release, purely because I really don't think it can afford to be. I think this is the most important release Xbox have had in recent years, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Like, it's so important to their generation. Like, this is the game for the generation. For that, if this fucks up, they've just lost. So they have to get it right. And it better be fucking good.
But this is the thing, though. I think the ingredients that make me so positive about it, by the way, are Bethesda being so damn good at side quests. Like, look at the track record. Every single one of those games is the side quest that makes it. And then conjuring a, in this case, universe big enough to have all the more side quests. I think that is a very strong starting point for this. But I do agree, Ben. I think it is a pretty darn important release as well.
Well, I think... Along those lines as well, like, Xbox needs a big year. I think that's well documented. They haven't released big exclusives in 2022. Their year is not stacked. Like, it's, oh, Xbox is going to be huge next year. Yeah, this is what's going to... Is it? I mean, there aren't these massive hit. This is the hitter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are some other good games that we'll talk about. There are some exclusives or what have you. But, like, the likes of Hellblade 2, that ain't coming. That's gonna be down there. Like, what is there? This has to really, this has to be their big one that just doesn't go away, and it's got to be another Elder Scrolls for them.
We could cross our fingers and hope that Fable comes out in 2023.
Oh,
I can't see.
Love that, but yeah. I don't think that's happening this year.
I'm gonna cross my fingers.
Okay. I mean, if you're right, that would be incredible, and I'd be very keen on it too. But
correct me if I'm wrong too. But Starfield, this is going to be the first big Bethesda release since the acquisition, right?
Well, they've had Ghostwire, and they've had Deathloop, obviously, but they came on PlayStation,
right?
So,
right, but like from Bethesda themselves, like as their next big thing.
Not Arcane, and
yeah
it's
definitely so different. From actually Bethesda, yes, and for Xbox, yes. So that's why it's so fucking huge.
I mean, it may also have more pressure on it if the Activision thing goes south, because then they really need that flagship they've got to show something. But before we dedicate too much time to Starfield, should we talk about the other two Xbox releases we'd highlighted there? Because we've got Redfall.
You guys interested in Redfall?
Yeah, I'm actually kind of what I said earlier, co-op games. They're very much on my radar now. And this one, it looks like just fun. And honestly, if you watch some of like the more recent stuff they put out, some of it like goes pretty horror direction.
I like it, man. I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, it looks fun.
I love vampires. This looks good. I mean, it's cartoony, but a little bit dark. It's squad based. It's got all of the stuff from Ghostwire, like everything, how the enemies, how the hand stuff works, and all of that is kind of, you could tell it's the same, you know, even if it's not directly the same people, it's the same kind of group of people, the same assets and stuff. You're like, yeah, I loved that in Ghostwire. That translates. Open world, vampire game, squad based, abso-fucking-lutely. What I would say is that they have said it will play single player, obviously, but I want it to be doable and scalable single player as well, like, because as much as I want to play like squad based or somebody else, I might be turning my hand and saying, Pete, do you want to play this? And he'll go, yeah, maybe not. So I need it to be able to be a good game single player as well. And I just really hope that that's the case.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely leaning into the whole squad co-op thing. So
yeah,
we'll see.
We will see. I'm sure it's great squad co-op, but I just want it to have that single player as well, as long as it's got it.
It sounds like you boys are talking about shooty games, so I'm listening.
Yeah, I love it. Love it. Shooty bang bangs, baby. But yeah, I think it's one of those, like, obviously because it was delayed from last year, it almost builds the pressure on it as well. And it's because it was delayed at the same time as Starfield, it's almost put in that same camp as this is another big release. It kind of highlights how big it is. So it needs to also deliver. And part of me does think, like, if Redfall and Starfield came out last year, what the fuck would Xbox have this year?
Well, whatever's on the slate for 2024, I imagine.
I just feel like those delays. Fable. Yeah. I think it's actually good for Xbox and Microsoft that they had a year where it was just barren, because now it makes it a little bit more pumped up. Because if they hadn't had that year, you'd be like, oh, 2023 is going to be a shit year for Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
True. Although I suppose that's the thing with, like, late year releases like Starfield and Redfall were meant to be, is most people sort of consider them in the next round, don't they? So they sort of bleed over into 2 years. If you do,
well, they do, but all three on this list. So if we move on to Stalker 2. All three on this list were all slated for 2022. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got to say, like, I genuinely think Xbox are glad that these three got delayed. I mean, Stalker 2 delayed for different reasons, but they got delayed because then at least that bad period is behind them. And now they can have the good years, because otherwise they would have had a good 2022. And then, oh yeah, sorry, 2023, done fucked up. There's nothing there.
Yeah, they literally wouldn't have much, would they? And pretty much nothing exclusive.
I like the look of Stalker 2, but I don't really know much about it.
The problem was, I cared about Stalker 2 early.
Yeah, I want to play it too.
This is definitely Dave Tetter. I know, Dave, you're pretty excited for Stalker 2.
I mean, I never played the first one, but it's just, there was that time where, like, for some reason, all those Chernobyl-style games were coming out. We were getting Chernobylite, we were getting the talk of Stalker 2. Anytime Modern Warfare is coming around with going through Pripyat and this and that. But this is like, all right, it's being that mix of like an RPG, but also that standard survival first-person shooter to explore. It seemed to really bring on a lot of those aspects from the first one and enhance them. I heard the first one was decently difficult, so I'm not really sure how it would transfer over with this new one. But it was something that, having slight knowledge of the first one, I was much more excited for it back when they were talking about it. Since that
this
whole
was the
thing
same for me.
Yeah. Has kind of gotten muddied up. To be honest, I forgot about it. Before seeing it here, I forgot it was coming out.
Easily done. Yeah, this was it. There was that middle of this year, there was that phase where you were like, yeah, I'm looking forward to this stuff still.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, yeah, having a selection of these games coming out together made you more excited. Now it's so far away from them that I can completely understand. And I think the man who's most excited of all of us for it, Eddie, is probably, well, he is the most excited and he's not here.
Hmm.
So, can't really tell us about that too much, but
sorry, Eddie.
Yeah,
and it's your fault, Eddie. So
it's definitely Eddie's fault. Before we move on, are there any other games any of you have looked at on Xbox, or are we literally just at three guys? Because that is a lot of pressure on those three.
I mean, it's just those three that we can realistically expect to happen this year, right?
Yeah.
I want to see what they do with the follow-up to Gears 5. I want to see how they handle the ending of that game.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like it. But are we getting that this year? It doesn't seem like it.
No. It doesn't seem like it. And I thought we were going into this period where Xbox would have a massive release every month or 2 months. I think that's kind of what the hype promised. Like, yeah, we're taking we haven't got anything this year, but going forward, there will be more. And I know we've mentioned a few other games like Fable and such, and Hellblade 2. And yeah, if all of these started dropping periodically, then yeah, there would be. And I'm sure Xbox have got more planned. There's no doubt about that. They've also got Game Pass. They'll be bringing games to Game Pass, all that kind of stuff. I'm sure Xbox fans will not be disappointed. There's no doubt about that. But when we were researching the games for 23 to throw into this mix, I mean, it is a tough knock, isn't it? There's not anything obvious.
And I mean, the only other one is one that I'm not interested in at all, but I know certain people have been looking for, and it's Forza Motorsport.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, well, sorry. Yeah, that,
but that's a Q3 release. Yeah. So we might not even get that till 2024. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, but Pete, you're right to bring that up. And Kirk would have been screaming at this podcast saying, why aren't you fucking talking about that game? But you are right. That's a big game. In a lot of people's eyes, that is a big fucking game. So we can't exclude that one.
I'm not sure if it's ending up coming out next year, but does anybody have any interest about this Perfect Dark game?
I'm a huge Perfect Dark fan from the N64. Obviously, I played the 360 game and just gave it up immediately. But the N64 game I loved, but the time has been and gone, I think, for Perfect Dark.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not excited at all, even though it was one of my most played games when I was a child.
Because I remember when that trailer came out and it seemed like, ooh, what is this? This seems all cool, futuristic. It's being, this is what, the Initiative's games? So they're fucking Mega PlayStation Fighter Studio. And all of a sudden you see Perfect Dark come up and I'm just like, is this an out of date April Fool's joke? Like what's going on here?
Yeah, it doesn't help that they were hyping up like what that studio was actually working on and like the big reveal of it. And then, and it's been radio silent since then.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it doesn't bode well, does it? Unless they're just going to suddenly have a presentation next month and just go like, bosh, 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 bosh. They probably will. Mm-hmm. But
do you think it feels, Xbox feels in an even weirder place because come the Game Awards, they had literally nothing to show?
Yeah.
I think that means that they have a show coming up very soon.
That's what I would think.
People are speculating possibly in January.
The alternative is they wanted to show almost, not weakness, but not show anything, not show their hand because of the Activision deal. Just to, they're playing the wounded lamb at the moment.
Right.
That's true.
And I think what they also realize is the Game Awards is watched by a lot of people who know about video games. It's not watched by a lot of casuals. So nobody's going, oh, I'll check out all the trailers for the Game Awards if you aren't like more of a hardcore gamer, I'd say, or a mid to hardcore gamer. So if you are a mid to hardcore gamer, you already know what Xbox has kind of planned. And I kind of think it's not as important as people are making out that that Xbox didn't have a massive show in there. I think we already get what Xbox has coming up. But if they do a showcase, then fantastic. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Wounded Lamb... But eventually, if the deal is going to be 2024, they've got to fucking show a showcase, haven't they?
Yeah.
So. I don't know if you saw the numbers for the Game Awards, but they were kind of surprising.
108 or 115?
103 million viewers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Highest record. And what, the Oscars got 15 million this year?
Yeah, I think it is just, it more than anything, I think it's the trend of cable television to this type of event. Yeah. But
115 is monumental, though, isn't it? Like, wonder how that possible, given the number of people who own consoles. If you added up all the people who own consoles and you took out the double counting, like I've got three or four of them or whatever, then I'd be like, how are you getting 115 million viewers interested in video games?
I mean, this is probably counting any single person that entered the Twitch stream at any point.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know how much this would necessarily add, but Valve was doing their whole Steam Deck giveaway if you watch on Steam. And I don't know if you guys jumped into that at any moment. The chat was like a constant machine gun of like, if you typed one thing, you would never see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So would that play a huge number? Probably not, but stuff like that,
I'm just wondering what they're, because if you add up those numbers, add up who owns consoles, take out double counting, all that kind of stuff, I'd be like, hang on a minute, you'd have to have a shit ton of PC players watching that game.
So
don't know what that means.
We're not here to draw conclusions, we're here to speculate wildly. Anyway,
absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going to switch the order on you guys, because we were going to talk PlayStation next, but actually, because we focus so much on the pressure on Xbox, I want to bring Nintendo next, because I think there's quite a lot of pressure on them as well. And we'll start that by pointing out that Zelda Tears of the Kingdom is obviously slated for next year.
And what do you guys think it is? Tears or tears?
Tears.
Yeah,
I think it's tears.
It's going by all sorts of facial stuff.
I'm going with tears. I think
it's Tez.
I think because we're up in the sky now, we're getting little parts of the ground torn out, and they're just kind of like up.
Yeah.
It's the kingdom is torn away. That's just what I'm going with. I don't know.
Then that's really of you. Okay.
But surely this is a fairly simple thing to find out, because the translation of it has to be quite clear in another language, right? Because they are clearly two different words in another language, but it just so happens that in ours are the same word.
Ben, we're all from Anglo-style countries. None of us can speak other languages,
and,
I assume.
And none of us are going to look this up. So.
What you're saying is making too much sense. I don't like it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'd probably know enough French to look at that, but not to get it right. So either way, I'm still going with tears, because I'm pretty sure they're just going through facial things at every point. We've had breath, we'll get tears. There'll be a nose related one next. You'll see. It's the theme.
Legend of Zelda.
Goal.
Yeah.
Exactly that. Yes. But Ben, I know you've got to be excited for this one, but do you also think there's quite a lot of pressure on it?
I think there is. I think it's a big game. There is a massive pressure because Breath of the Wild was so big. It's something that got me into the Switch. I got the Switch and that was my first game on it, and it made me fall in love with the Switch. This is promising a lot. As I look at the Switch right now, we've had some big releases recently that we've been interested in terms of Pokemon. There was Bayonetta 3 as well. I don't think, because Nintendo aren't getting the third parties now, then they are obviously getting indies and stuff like that, but they're not getting a lot of these big third party games that are coming out now, because the graphically they just moved on. Nintendo, I think, I'm looking at it, I'm going, what is there here? You might have some exclusives come out, but I'm struggling now. So I think there's a lot of pressure on, one, this game to carry it through to the end of the generation. And two, to build it for the next console. And I think they need a new console, because I think the Switch is going to lose its relevance into next year quite dramatically.
I don't know if I agree.
Ooh.
Sumo map. So,
now, well, I'm just going based off of, listen, they're going to put the, critically, is there maybe some pressure with that? Sure, especially following up Breath of the Wild. They're not going to capture that magic twice, right? Because it's not going to be as surprising this time. We know much more to expect. But this game's going to release, and they're going to make a shit ton of money off it. No matter
how. It's still Nintendo, yes.
Yeah, it could get reviewed with like threes and fours across the board, and they'll be sitting there in piles of millions of dollars of profit from this.
Yep.
And that's really like, that's what they care about at the end of the day, right? Like, that's...
It is, but, I mean, the Switch is starting to look like the old man in the console crowd.
No, that's that is definitely fair. I've also... have you guys noticed, when you play a game docked on the TV through your Switch, it looks like absolute dog shit.
Yeah, I never do it. I always play handheld.
I was having that problem with Xenoblade Chronicles 3. I was like, oh, cool, big open world, like very bright, colorful, perfect for the TV. I put it on there. It just looks so stretched out. The text is all like blurry. I'm like, well, I'm going back to handheld. I can't do that.
Yeah, it looks tragic. I mean, the handheld stuff, I think, really does hold it together on that screen. I play on monitor sometimes. I could put Pokemon on the monitor, but that's as much as I'll do. Blow that up on the big screen, and you're like, oh, my days. So I just think that before... So when the Switch was in its kind of infancy or first couple of years, you get a big game like come over to it, or even after, like when Doom came on for the first time. So it was years after 2016 Doom came out on the Switch, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's fucking amazing. Oh, I'm going to buy that native on the Switch. Now I don't give a shit. Now they can bring whatever they want over. And I'm like, oh, right. They bring Sifu over. Okay, yeah. Well, I'll just have got it on PlayStation. But before I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to double dip. That's amazing. It's natively on the Switch. Now I'm like, I don't care. I've got a Steam Deck. You need to do better. So I think with that stage, the Steam Deck, it's not a Switch killer. That's nonsense. But it has brought it, especially to my attention, where you're just like, I would just rather play anything on the Steam Deck than the Switch.
It's not a killer. It's more, it's the USP's gone. You know, if it was the only handheld console kind of thing, And the Steam Deck is the first properly legitimate competitor in that space.
Yeah, really. And it's fucking legit. And it's fucking legit.
Exactly. Not like the, what was the other one you had then? Was it One X Player or something?
Oh, I've got the One X Player as well. That was an expensive mistake.
Yes, yes. Good times. Official review. Yeah.
One thing with Zelda I did want to touch on too, just with the Switch being kind of outdated at this point. Nintendo, like in-house Nintendo games, they tend to perform very well. Obviously, we have Pokemon, but that's Game Freak and kind of... Yeah, that's kind of been a long-running Game Freak problem for a while, though. Breath of the Wild runs amazing.
Have you gone back to meet your hero recently?
No.
I mean, you go back to play Breath of the Wild now, and you're like, okay, it's not quite what I remembered.
Okay, so I might be looking back with like rose-tinted glasses here.
I think so. Like, it's not as seamless as you... It's still great. Like, it's still great. Don't get me wrong. But at the time, I was like, wow, this is awesome. Not quite as good now, I don't think.
Okay, because to be fair, I haven't gone back since I finished that game. So,
yeah. Okay. That was probably many, many moons ago.
Yeah, that was when it came out, so...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, fuck Nintendo then, right?
No, but we love Nintendo. We love. This is coming from a warm place in the heart. This is do better.
Yeah,
come on.
That's been Nintendo for a long time. Haven't we talked about this every time we've been on? Like we've done a collaboration. Is how no matter what Nintendo fucks up, they're just always fine. Like it's.
Yeah, I know. Right. Okay. I know people want me to move on from this, but Mario Strikers and Switch Sports, that sparked a fire in me that rages to this day. Nintendo, they just do what they want. They do what they want and they don't care. They don't care that it's fucking bullshit. It's just wank. You have such good games. You have a good gameplay mechanic. You do it so well. Everything else behind it, every game mode, everything, it's just shit. It's just liquid shit. You could do so much better just sat in a room and just gone, can we just spitball some ideas? Oh yeah, just do this, this, and this. Oh, that wouldn't take long, would it? No, it wouldn't take long. Why haven't we done it? Why are we just releasing this absolute garbage?
If anyone wants to hear more of this rant, you can check out any of our last 50 episodes and you'll probably find some reference to it.
Do you not like Switch Sports all that much?
I love Switch Sports, but what they could do with it, though, could be magnificent. And it wouldn't require an awful lot. It really wouldn't, just to like add some different cups. Like how they could just get the multiplayer pinging, like by ranking it. Like they got ranked, obviously, but by doing little... You could... The way they could have competitive play could be so much better. Like, there's so much they could do with it that they just don't. They just go like, oh, here's your games. You can play it with your family. No, I want to play it properly. I want to really get into this, and I don't want to just see my rank go up. Like, I want to do more.
It's at the end of the day, it's Nintendo. It doesn't matter if it looks like shit. It doesn't matter if it plays like shit. It doesn't matter if it works. Is it fun? And did you give us a lot of money? We're Nintendo. Have fun. You know, like
that's been Nintendo's motto for years, right?
Reggie walks on stage and goes, it doesn't matter what it looks like. You like it. Give us money. And they're like, yeah, goodbye.
You can tell they started that as a trading card game, can't you? Because there's an awful lot of that comes through.
Literally.
their games recently, especially the sports ones, have just been like, oh, if you've played it for half an hour, you've played it for 30 hours. It's exactly the same thing. And it's just like, that's so disappointing.
I definitely felt that way with Mario Strikers, too. I think Switch Sports helps that it has a large, well, not large, but it has a good variation of very different playing games in there.
Yes.
But Mario Strikers, I fell off of pretty hard.
Yeah.
I think that's probably wise. As always, we get held up on Mario Strikers whenever it
comes. Yep, you move on. Here you go, buddy.
So, the other games we wanted to mention for Nintendo, obviously Pikmin 4 and Fire Emblem Engage. Now, I'm not a Nintendo fan, so I'm entirely reliant on you guys here for this, boys.
Fire Emblem looks good.
I have dabbled in Fire Emblem. I like the story side, the narrative stuff, that stuff, wonderful. The gameplay side, I'm not too into like tactical type games, strategy type games. I I've never been able to get over that hump with them.
Do not. Tactical strategy, different games.
Okay,
different.
Yes,
Mario and Rabbids is not a strategy game. Okay. It's fine. Yeah, it's fine.
I kind of use them interchangeably as someone who is not into the genre.
No,
he didn't like the Game Awards for one specific reason.
Yeah.
You put Mario. Oh, was Mario was under strategy?
Same category as Total War Warhammer and Dune Spice Wars. Come on, man. Like, it's infuriating. If you've played Mario and Rabbids, try Stellaris and tell me how far you get. Like, if they're that similar, you'll be fine. Fuck off. Anyway.
This is Pete's Nintendo rant.
Yes, yeah. Anyway, tactical games. You're not big on tactical games. Go on.
Thank you. Yes, I'm not big on tactical games. I wish I was, because everything else with Fire Emblem looks like it would be so up my alley. But it hasn't hooked me before.
We just got to wait for the right franchise to come out with that style of game. Just like... a roguelike will come out and be like, all right, let me dip my toes in, and then you're drowning in it. And
that
then,
does so happen with us,
That's what I'm waiting for. And I feel like the closest thing for something like that, which, don't hurt me, but Gears Tactics is that kind of thing, which is like, all right, it's Gears. I know Gears. That's exciting. All right, I'll try this new sort of thing. Maybe I'll like it. And, like, I need more of that. Like, if you gave me an RTS Borderlands game, sold.
Oh, yeah.
And Gears Tactics wasn't bad, so if you are a big Gears fan, then that is definitely one to try. Yeah. That is a good game. But yeah, I think Fire Emblem Engage looks really good. Graphically, it's supposed to be the best in the series. I think it's bringing a lot of the stuff from the latest games kind of together in one. I might get this. I did like the last couple. Yeah. But that was because I love the characters, I think, more. But yeah, I think... yeah, this could be good, but that's a January release, and then we've got Zelda, and then we've got Pikmin 4 just coming randomly in the future. Nintendo have to have this something up their sleeve for the rest of it. I'm not a huge Pikmin fan. I don't know if you guys are. I don't know if anyone is.
I have nostalgia for just playing them on the GameCube a lot. When I really think about, like, if I sat down today and played Pikmin 1 or 2, would I actually enjoy it? Yeah. I honestly don't know the answer to that question, but I definitely have nostalgia for it. So I see Pikmin, I'm like, ooh, okay, Pikmin.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's a problem with these franchises when they bring them back. They really have to bring them into the new age, because I think gaming has moved on. But you know what they'll do? They won't. They'll just do the same.
They'll rely on that nostalgia to pull you back in and make you
money. Fucking literally. They rely on the fact that the average gamer is now 30.
Desperately clinging to youth. Yes. anyway. Okay, so slightly underwhelming on the Nintendo front as well as Xbox. It really does fit our theme at the beginning of this, by the way, that it's being held up by third parties and indies.
Yeah.
But let's do lip service to PlayStation as well. Because, firstly, we should probably mention Forspoken, which it feels like that's been coming out forever. No.
Did anyone play the demo? I haven't yet, but I want to.
I did. Yeah, I did play the demo. Yeah, I talked about it.
More excited.
I talked about it last week. I think behind it all, there might be a good combat system and a decent game. I just think the demo wasn't the best place to showcase it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it was more of just like an open box to do things in? Just like to get like a feel of it?
I think it was to get a feel. And I did get a feel, and my takeaway was this could be quite good, but I think if a reviewer got their hands on it and had 20 hours, 30 hours with it, they might master that combat system and go, this could be really, really good. I don't know whether that's going to be the case, but it struck me as one that will come down in price quite quickly. Mm-hmm. And if I were interested and I weren't going to play it straight away, I'd probably wait a month or two to buy it. But I'm not saying it's going to be a bad game. I think it could be quite interesting, like a 7 out of 10 could be really good.
Now, are you taking in the fact of the Aloy Lara Croft phenomenon?
I mean, Lord knows I love a female protagonist, so that already has points.
Not what I'm going for.
Were you talking about the talking a lot thing?
Shut the fuck up! Every single second! Shut up!
Right. So on that point, that has been blown out of all proportion as far as I'm concerned. Like, I played that demo and it's like, yeah, okay. Like, people were like, oh no, they're banging on, it's annoying. All right, shut the fuck up, it's fine. Like, it's a game.
So
it's a game, man.
My girlfriend did play the demo, and she did tell me, because Dave and I both hate that. So we, I hate it when they just talk too much.
Yeah.
And she said that it was really the bracelet thing was talking, and then it was almost like cringy. And they he kind of kept going on.
Oh, it's fine. Like, I think it's only because people are pointing it out. To me, it's fine. I don't give a shit. It's it shows a bit of personality for what the game is going for. It wasn't as bad as I think people were banging on about. It was because of that little 10-second trailer or whatever they did, didn't they, months ago?
Oh, well, that helped so nothing. That helped nothing terrible. At all.
That's the real problem here. That's the real problem. Let's see what the game comes out. But I'm sure, I think you can turn it down in the
menu. I hope so.
That's good.
Like Dave was saying, do you notice that with Aloy and like Horizon at all?
Yeah, I do notice that with Aloy. Definitely notice.
You notice something other than the climbing.
Yeah, climbing is absolutely tragic.
Oh but my god, Aloy it's just so like, mad.
Oh, I really need to go and do this right now. But yeah, I didn't get that on Forspoken. But bearing in mind, the demo was only 10-15 minutes, so
okay,
that's probably wasn't enough. And I was concentrating on trying to go, well, how many fucking systems are there on this fucking combat? So I probably wasn't even listening to her. But yeah, I didn't really notice it. But
okay,
yeah, you are. It's probably a thing to a certain degree. And if it's something that bugs you, then it will bug you.
It bugs me.
It will bug yeah, it's yeah.
That won't go away. Excellent. Well, there's another one here that I'm not going to be able to comment on because everyone knows how much I hate Spider-Man, but we are expecting Spider-Man 2, aren't we?
Who hates Spider-Man?
Why do we hate Spider-Man?
Me. I hate
Spider-Man. What has Spider-Man done to you?
Everybody gets one, man. Everybody gets one.
I don't want it. Honestly, if it's a choice between letting him save me or dying, I'll pick dying every time. No. I have never had any interest in the character, and every single film has made it worse. So I'm not the best judge, but I'm giving you the platform to talk about
it. I love the new
guys.
Films, by the way. That's fine.
How do you do it, Ben? How do you deal with this?
All you've got to do is just accept it and go, right, this doesn't make any sense. He's got no logical arguments, but
okay.
Just it's fine.
That's just what I got to tell my brain. Right. That's what I got to rerun right now. It's not canon. Whatever he's saying is just fake.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Just move on.
I can't fucking wait for this.
That's the reaction we need.
I can't fucking wait. Shut up. I can't fucking wait for this game. The first one came out and literally expanded on almost everything that made Arkham amazing, making you feel like Batman. And this is your feeling. Like I the amount of times I've platinum that game, I've gone back to every single DLC, I've 100%ed it. I've spent hours just swinging around just to feel it. I'll come back from seeing like one of the new movies and just plop, like throw it in just to feel it again. There's something about it.
I've got a question for you then, because you'll probably be able to answer this better. So when I played the first one, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I thought it was fantastic. One of my top three games of that generation. It was probably second after Last of Us 2. Then I recently played Miles Morales. And I was really disappointed that it just seemed like going from place to place and then just chucking another 40 enemies at you. And then go to another place, chucking another 40 enemies at you. And I was like, am I misremembering how good Spider-Man was? Or is actually what this is the game? And it kind of deflated me going into Spider-Man 2. Because I was like, actually, am I just a different gamer now? And I don't like this type of game.
I want to say PlayStation recently in these past few years had a really big kick of not necessarily marketing the fact, but that they are putting out these smaller games that are more of just like standalone DLCs. You've seen it with Uncharted Lost Legacy, now with Miles Morales. What really feels like it's going to be some big thing is more of just like a repetition of the same old combat systems that we've seen before. But something like with Miles Morales, you're getting that new combat style of like the punches, you're seeing some slight variants, but at the end of the day, I feel like when you're coming down to just the swinging and the combat and you're looking at the narrative that it has, which it was fine, it was good, it worked. They absolutely fucked up the plastic surgery on Peter Parker, and I will never forgive them on that. ever.
Yeah, that is weird.
I will, to the day I die, I will always think about PS4 Spider-Man.
That is an odd decision. But, yeah.
This guy fits Yuri Lowenthal's face better. I'm like, I don't care. Like, why does it matter? That should give me the old face. But I think with this one, yeah, is going to be that big level of not only just like the enhancement that we're looking for, that we hope for from Spider-Man 2 Miles Morales. I think it's going to be a lot more dynamic with that God of War, Last of Us. Maybe you're going to jump back and forth between each character now that we've fully been in their shoes. And just, I feel like they've really been building up this grand adventure, and for the enemy to be Venom, specifically with the end credit scene of the first one, the now big focus on Venom and the numerous different ways that could go with that if Peter ends up getting the symbiote or something happens, because it's a part pops off and it always does something fucking bad. But there's too many aspects of this upcoming game that, as a Spider-Man fan, is just more and more exciting, to which I will 100% say that Spider-Man PS4 should be up there with the other three live-action Spider-Man because of how distinct his story and just how well his overall arc is.
Yeah, I do remember loving that game. My trepidation going to this one is that I loved God of War 2018 as well, and then the new God of War comes out, and I'm like, wow, this is very similar. And it was just like, okay.
I feel like I had the same thought process, because when I first loaded up God of War, to which I have not touched it since I put in that initial 6 hours. I've been off doing other stuff and whatnot. But I remember thinking to myself, the second I have the ability to throw that axe and call it back is going to be everything. And it was for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I do agree. I am afraid that this might be a similar thing. I feel the swinging is a much more exciting little mechanic, instead of like something as gimmicky as just bring the axe back, and you can do a lot more with that. So I'm hoping that the mechanics are still expansive enough to just play around with them, instead of just going back to something like God of War, to which there is a reason I haven't necessarily jumped back into the first 6 hours, because I'm like, all right, I'm excited for narrative, but yes, this all feels exactly the same.
Yeah.
Just want to throw in one thing, because we can't have one of these without talking about my weird admiration for daytime city games.
Knew it. Daytime games.
This is going to scratch that itch for me. That's it. That's all I need to say.
The sun's out. I'm ready. $60. Here we go.
There was something about sitting on the couch and going around this bright daytime city that feels comfy to me.
But also, it's the same place.
It's the stupidest fucking thing. The fact that it's daytime makes no goddamn sense.
It makes all the difference to me.
I was going to say, I mean, like, I went back to Cyberpunk endless times to drive around at night, but not the daytime.
So. Yeah, night has always been more appealing to me as well.
It's what he wants. He'll get, I mean, he's the one who's not going to be disappointed. We know that. It's hitting that for sure.
Yes.
Dylan hears his day-night cycle, and he starts getting a little excited, and it's like, all right, we've added photosynthesis into this game, and he's going to go, oh, shit!
Now we're talking.
No, we haven't got it on our list there, but The Last of Us multiplayer game, that's gonna come out this year.
Yeah,
has to be good as well.
Does it?
I think it's gonna be good. I think they've been working on it and hyping it up for quite a long time, and I think it's gonna be a long time before Last of Us 3 comes out. So. And after this year with just the remake, I think this has a lot riding on it.
I think that Last of Us 2 added a lot with combat and how you can approach situations very differently. I think if they expand upon that in a multiplayer way, that will be cool to watch other people be really good at, and the way they handle that. Especially if they do go, you would want it to be more than just like generic multiplayer third person shooter, right? You would want them to lean into all the different gadgets and stuff you can have in The Last of Us 2, all the traps you can set, stuff like that. But I'm not going to be that person who is playing it or good at it.
You're not gonna, okay. Yeah, multiplayer games are hard to get good at, and I am rarely good at them. So we'll see how it goes. But I've got a bit of interest in this one. Bit of interest.
That's fair. Is that little Ripples being?
Yeah, it's little Ripples. She had a dog outside, so
making her own podcast with another dog. It makes sense. Yeah. Okay. All right. So there's one more PlayStation game we should really talk about before we move on, and that, of course, is Final Fantasy 16. Which, I mean, as a franchise, it's huge. I've drifted away from Final Fantasy over the years because it's PlayStation only, but I imagine everyone's looking forward to this.
Oh yeah,
I can see nods. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Nah, not at the slightest.
They never were.
You guys riff.
So we both, our first Final Fantasy games were 15 for both of us.
Yeah.
Really?
Which is maybe a controversial one. I know, maybe not held in highest regards. We both really liked it.
I loved it. Like, that's what got me in it. And I was like, all right, I'm going to start paying attention to the Final Fantasy games coming out now. To which is when 7 Remake Part 1 came out. And I was like, I like where this is going. This is going good.
Yeah. What they've shown from 16, they're leaning heavily into the, like, summoning these gods and all this stuff, and I know that they kind of appear in most of them. I don't really know the lore with any of that or what their deal is. They seem to just be kind of summons at this point more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
I am excited for a more, as much as I liked 15 and its weird boy bands punk goth thing they had going on, I was into it even though it made no sense. I am excited for a more like dark medieval setting.
I think,
this is the thing that has attracted me back a bit as well, it must be said. My favorite of them is, I mean, it's a toss up between 7, 9, and 10, to be honest, but I generally say 9 because no one else does. But part of that was because 9 went more medieval with it, and I loved that as a setting. So this is why I've paid attention to 16 as well, is that return to it, and it is. It's almost a console seller, even for me. It's just the price of the console's too much.
Yeah.
So it's literally not a console seller.
it might be if I get paid better, Ben.
Well, it is a 6-month exclusive this time around. So
okay,
it's not too bad. You know, I'm sure it'll become an Xbox as soon as that 6 months is over.
That is the hope.
Because we're medieval, are we having any connections to Strangers of Paradise?
Oh, God. Did you guys play Strangers of Paradise?
I didn't, and I heard it wasn't great. Did you guys play it?
I dabbled. The combat leaves a lot to be desired. It is trying to be a Souls-like game without really capturing that.
Yeah.
It's not good. It is... The cutscenes, the voice acting, the dialogue is so bad it's funny.
Yeah, I heard that.
Like, that's the only thing that makes me want to go back to it. And maybe just watch, like, I'm sure there's some sort of YouTube video that is just like all the cutscenes put together so you can watch it. That's more than what I would do than actually put the time in to with all the gameplay.
Yeah.
But it's entertaining.
Maybe not for the reasons they wanted.
No,
but, but it definitely stood out because of it, and that's the reason I want to play it. I want to get it so I can experience that fucking bullshit.
Yeah, this game was massive. This game was massive when it got its trailer. People were fucking just off their chops on that. So, it's gonna be huge. I'm not really that interested because I'm not a big Final Fantasy fan, but.
Yeah, you never were.
It's I mean, I've played Final Fantasy on and off, but don't really care.
Is the thing as well. I don't think there's the pressure on PlayStation that there is on the other two, not particularly on Xbox with these.
Mm-hmm.
They've had a pretty darn good year this year for releases. They'll be pretty happy with how they've done. And we're not worried, are we, about 2023 for PlayStation?
They've also got a few in the locker with the likes of Wolverine and things like that. And as I said, Last of Us, and they can make another announcement. I do think PlayStation are probably now thinking, okay, they were just about to go into a period where it's slightly declined from their last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
especially because they bunched up a little bit more of their releases because there weren't many PlayStations in the wild, so they kind of pushed them back a little bit. Horizon was into last year and stuff like that. So I do think they're now looking over their shoulder and going, ah, okay, this Activision deal, we don't have a tremendous amount on the horizon that we've been able to be vocal about. So I think that's why they're getting a bit more jittery over that stuff. So I don't think we're worried because PlayStation is so dominant. PlayStation could just stand still and they'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But
they're probably going to make they kind of already are, I'd imagine, a big VR push with their new headset coming out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but you think that, but then you get say, so like, look at the number of headsets that were sold. How many did they sell? Like, was it 5 million on 114 million PlayStation 4s, right? Yeah. There are like 20, maybe 30 million PS5s, and it's so much more expensive.
Yeah.
Like, what legitimately? No, I'm not asking, like, you want to get third parties to start making games on your platform? Okay, well, how many PlayStation VR2s you're going to sell? Maybe 1 million. And then, okay, well, how many people are going to buy a proportion of those games for the third parties and all that? Work the numbers down.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to be supporting this thing. I just cannot see it.
It's,
yeah. I'd love someone to support it. It ain't going to happen. Like, VR, as brilliant as it is, and I've experienced it, you guys have experienced it, I just don't think there's no way to make it commercially viable at the moment. I can't see it. I hope it does, but I cannot see it.
If they knocked off like $100 for every wire that attaches from the headset to the console, then I'd be more inclined to get one. But
yeah,
I've even popped on my Quest recently just to fuck around for a little bit, and just that level of freedom, and just I want to get back into playing some of those games. I think unless it's amazing exclusives, I don't see how this is going to be like the big sell.
Yeah, and how can you go from like wireless to what? Wired? Even if it's one or two, whatever, but how can you go back to wired? Like, if you've experienced it otherwise, you're losing those people. I think you're just losing. So even then, like, the VR market is smaller. I think the only way the VR market truly grows is to collude and to get all these big companies coming together and say, we're going to make games. They're going to come out on all of them. We're going to combine the market before separating later. We've got to grow this thing because I don't see it.
What a beautiful campaign speech. All coming together.
Got to work together, guys. Come on.
I think that is a good point. I don't think they're going to do that, unfortunately.
Oh, never. Oh, but, never. No.
But yeah, Dave and I both said, like, I don't care how much better this headset could possibly be than the Quest 2.
Yeah.
I just can't go back to wires. I can't do it.
And just being forcibly stuck in one position, just like, you have to sit down. It's like, oh, let me move. And you just feel that thing scraping on your back, that little wire, and just like, the immersion is broken. And then you just want to snap the thing in half.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I think that sums that up quite nicely. And the reason I say this is, let's go to one with far less immersion and talk indies. Because while I make that joke, I'm obviously a big indie gamer myself. I think we all are here. And in this, I think we have a lot more room for positivity. I mean, Nightingale looks excellent. We can finally expect Hollow Knight Silksong, apparently. We'll see how that goes. We've got Oxenfree 2 expected. We've got Blanc, Ravenlock, possibly Hades 2. I mean,
Hades 2, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, is it definitely next year?
Was it sure announced at the Game Awards? So it's coming, and it's going to be huge, and it's going to be early access. So the start, I would imagine seeing that very soon.
Okay. I'm less of a believer than you, but fair. I'll hold back on my
2023 baby. My doubts. It's going to be big.
Yeah, it's a long year, I suppose. It's a long year. But I mean, obviously for me, Silksong stands out there as one I've wanted for years. And I honestly, I believe I'll still be wanting it this time next year. But
that's not coming, Pete.
Yeah, it says 2023, and there have been rumors before June. I don't buy it. I will buy it the moment it's out, but I don't buy it. But which ones stand out for you guys other than that?
Ravenlock, which is that's Dave and I. We both really enjoyed Echo Generation.
Oh, yeah.
And now getting kind of like a spin on like Alice in Wonderland type deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that same very cool art style, and I'd imagine still sticking with that kind of old school adventure style game. I'm excited for this one.
So I looked this up after you added it to the doc, because I thought it was a completely different game. And I liked it. I liked the look of it. Really did. Interesting, that kind of fairy tale, but yeah, Alice in Wonderland kind of look. And Game Pass day one.
Oh, yeah. Got it. Oh, man. I'll suck Game Pass's dick with everything going on recently. It's been such a convenient. It's been so goddamn convenient. Like, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be playing fucking... what came out recently? Plague's Tale, fucking Somerville, High on Life, etc. Like,
Pentiment.
Exactly.
Yeah. Even June. I'm accessing June Spice Wars.
Oh, yeah, June Spice Wars. That's not the type of game I thought would be coming
there. Yeah, but we also talk Game Pass way too much. So, yes. Game Pass is phenomenal. This is why there's less pressure on Xbox than we suggest. But, yes.
Yeah.
Ravenlock, I think, looks really interesting. And the Tim Burton, the Alice in Wonderland style thing is always a really cool design to go with.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think of Nightingale as well?
I am not big into survival games typically. I've dabbled, and this one looks really cool to me.
I need more. I'm getting mixes of like Valheim with some sort of just like generic first person, like I'm trying to do Minecraft different, but like trying to throw their own spin on it. Cause I see the portals of going to different places, which makes me think Valheim is just your standard survival stuff. But it's got my attention. I just need more.
I think that, like I suffer, and you guys might suffer from survival games because we play so many games and try to do it because we've got a podcast as well. So we try to play so many games. I mean, Pete and Eddie don't subscribe to this theory cause they just do whatever the fuck they want. But, I don't play many survival games or strategy games or anything like that, and survival games are ones that I think I'd love, and I have loved in the past, but just haven't got the time for. This looks really good, but it's almost like you need somebody who's used to survival games to play this and then go, is it good?
Yeah.
Like, if we let Pete or Eddie, if you guys had a go on it for a week, you'd be able to go, yeah, okay, it's deep enough for me to do X, Y, Z, or... Nah, you're right.
I think that's fair. I suppose partially I'm interested because for once it's a game that is, or it looks pretty steampunk, and they didn't use the word steampunk.
I love steampunk.
That's
shit.
True.
That's also where it has my attention because it looks fucking dope.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is the thing. They called it Gas Lamp Fantasy, I think, which was just like, okay, something not punk related. Okay. That's perfect. Yeah. Love it.
Good.
But you're still giving me the same impression, which is excellent. And I did also want to add, Ben, I think your reason for that in survival games, and I'm basing this on Valheim, is you die a lot.
Yeah,
kind of against what the game does.
Pete, if I could see beyond 2 pixels on the screen, maybe I wouldn't die so much. So this game actually looks very good. This game looks good. Graphically.
I had to abandon a base because there were too many of your corpse stones around. Like
that. Yeah, absolutely. I'm surprised you could see them, Pete.
I had no problem seeing in Valheim, but it is a fair comment. what about the others? Is anyone looking at Oxenfree? Interest?
Yes.
With interest.
Did you guys play the first Oxenfree?
I still have to. Really? That's one of those, along like with Somerville, that I'm like, I feel like when I have the time, I'll like dabble in like one of those like popular big indie games that I just don't play too often, but I haven't gotten a chance to yet.
Oh, it's so cool. Like I didn't know what it was, and when I had my Switch obviously at the start, like there weren't that many games, and it was always like a quid. So like, one time I was like, okay, I'll buy it, and then it's like, it was awesome. I loved Oxenfree. I thought it was fantastic. I thought the storytelling was excellent, the way that it was delivered, fantastic. This has been supposed to be coming out for fucking years, but then they got purchased and all this kind of stuff. I still don't even know what platform it's coming on, because then it was like moved to like, they bought by like a mobile publisher or something like that. And so I don't know what's going on with it, but I really hope this comes out. I really hope it comes to Switch. Really excited to see what they're going to do with it, because as indie games go, it was one of the first that I thought, wow, the narrative in this stuff. Like at the end of that game, it made me feel empty. And I thought, that's fucking good.
Okay.
It's a positive conclusion with a very negative thing. Yeah, okay.
It was dark. No, because I put myself in a character, a game that doesn't ask it of you, but you naturally put yourself in the character's shoes. And then you're just left with this, like, how would I react in that situation? Okay, I'd probably try and kill myself, but that was fine.
Yikes.
So
many positive things.
That sounds dark.
Right?
Yeah.
Dark game, man. Dark game.
You sell things in a unique way, Ben. I'll give
you that. I'm a snake oil salesman at heart. Don't worry about it.
Offshore guys, what about you? Any indies that particularly stand out for you?
Replaced and Lies of P. Those are like the two big ones for me. Now that I'm in the Souls games, I want to play a Pinocchio Dark Souls game. And that just seems fucking because it's like, you hear that kind of concept and you're like, hold on, what? Like, you have my undivided, but like, how the fuck do you plan on pulling a Pinocchio Dark Souls game? Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It is going to be an interesting creation to see, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
I really hope that one works. I really hope it works well.
I do too.
Yeah, especially an interesting Souls-like, because a lot of these like third-party Souls-likes, they don't have something like really interesting about them. And everyone's kind of jumped on the Lies of P stuff, haven't they? And gone, okay, this looks good.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of hype around this one now. It's a lot of expectation.
I think that one's definitely up there because of my foray into these more Souls-like games recently. But since was shown... replaced with its pixelated art style. Like, I'm always going to be that Game Boy fan. When Eastward came out, anytime one of these, like, Octopath Traveler, whenever, like, that pixelated style, that traditional, I get hyped as fuck. And
I thought this looked awesome.
The cinematography, the different shifting of the camera, all the little set pieces, the moodiness, the colors, it all just feels so vibrant in this world that I just need to be a part of. And like specifically the one shot where you see the lightning strike on the big window and you're in that room and it just lights up everything. Yep. And that game seems to have such style and atmosphere that I just need to experience it.
Yeah. Replaced looks awesome. It's coming to Game Pass. I know we didn't, and I didn't want to mention again. Game Pass.
I think Lies of P is also coming to Game Pass, but anyway,
I love Game Pass.
but like the replace thing, it even gave me kind of like it gave me Ascent vibes as well, and we fucking loved the Ascent. It's that same kind of vibe to it. I'm all in on that. It looked the art style was fantastic.
That's definitely where it got my first attention, because when you're able to do something, especially with the art style of modernized pixelated games, like I'll go back to Eastward, you have the dynamic lighting coming through with the shadows on top of the regular pixelated this and that. It's something that's so simple, but at the same time, like, it's mesmerized my brain and I just can't stop looking at it.
Yeah, agreed. Very impressive.
Mm-hmm. What the fuck is Blanc again?
That is
Fox one, right?
Yes. Right.
Not a fox.
Something.
Not a fox. Gonna see it. Said that.
What is it?
You're on the right track. It is the you can play it co-op. One person is playing is like a baby deer, the other one baby wolf. So typically
fox.
One's hunting the other. But some sort of crazy snowstorm happens, and it's basically like these two baby animals that would normally, like, one would be trying to kill the other, have to work together to survive. No word spoken type deal. The fact that it's co-op has my interest. It's animals that has my interest.
There's one thing with this, though. I believe, and I could be totally wrong, hopefully you know, does it have to be played co-op? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
That's why I got the trailer, so I hope I'm wrong. Yeah, because I love games that can be played co-op. I hate games that must be played co-op.
Disagree.
So it will make
it's very few.
Highly
very few.
Make a big difference.
Hazelight has absolutely taken over and gotten that perfectly. And I specifically wait for a new Hazelight game where it's like, I have to play with somebody in that moment, because it's just that you're getting double the experience from playing the game and also seeing whatever side of that person you're playing with as you're both running through this experience together. I don't, there's definitely some games that don't need it. I don't think the Hazelight games need it, but they're just done so well with it.
I think that's great if you have that person that wants to play it as well. I think absolutely.
That is the biggest caveat. Otherwise,
yeah,
two controllers, feet and hands.
There we go.
I did look it up real quick. According to NintendoLife.com, the game requires co-op play.
You see, I don't, this is the thing, I have just have an innate dislike of anything that restricts access to content, similar to the additional mission on Hogwarts mentioned at the beginning. So, and I don't like the thought of having a story, as it were, that you can't access just by playing it on your own. I do not mind at all if they have massive additional bits to it that come from playing with another person, especially, as you say, that seeing the other side of a different player.
Right.
It's just the gating content, for whatever reason, is for me, it's a get fucked, basically.
Why is this one mission only on PlayStation 5 for Hogwarts Legacy? It's artistic vision, you dickhead.
Yeah. I mean, I am going to play devil's advocate a little bit here. Hogwarts Legacy, that's a different thing. I think than having
a different
the game.
Motive for sure.
I'm going to kind of lean into something that's been talked about a lot in recent years, but not every game is going to be made for every person, right? Kind of like how movies and TV shows, it's not every piece of media is going to be directed towards you. I do think it's fair requiring a game that, like, could this work without co-op? I mean, I guess I don't know because I haven't played it, but there probably is a way to make this work without co-op. So the requirement, yeah, like I get that. It can be a bummer. It can
I mean, I thought you were going to go harder in the paint then, and then I was going to be Pete, get fucked.
But then, it's not made for Pete, right?
That's right. No, you're very true.
Yeah, it's not. So no Pete, get fucked.
And there we go. Fine. It still works.
It still works. That is one of those things that's absolutely
Pete, fun. They didn't want your money anyway.
I'm sure they didn't. That's the one thing they do want from everybody is money. So. But no, let's not get away. Let's not get away from the fact that it looks like a lovely game. The art style is wonderful.
Mm. Yeah, it's wonderful.
And that's, I mean, once again, indies are looking fantastic next year. That's where we can fall down on. Yeah. But I think we've kind of gone through it all and we've sort of answered one of the questions I wanted to answer up front, which was who needed strong years? And I think we've covered that off. So I suppose my only real final question for each of you is, which is the one game you're looking forward to most next year?
Does it have
can
to
we
just
do
one?
Yes.
But I don't want to repeat again.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too. It's Hogwarts Legacy. We did it last year. It's what we chose, but that's what it is.
There's no other game that's going to be coming out. I mean, a Borderlands 4 could be coming out on the horizon, and I'd still be like, give me Hogwarts Legacy. I need to kill some kids. Like, I just got to do something.
Oh, God. That is, a repeated message. That is strong. First time, you're like, yeah, okay.
It's real good out of context too. If someone just kind of skips towards the end of this and just, I just really gotta kill kids, you know.
You can even cut that section out and use it as a text message ringer. It's one line.
There's a lot to unpack. They've only showed us so much, and they keep showing us a little bit more and more as time goes on. Like, we had that showcase recently, which went over some more of the mounts, the broom flying, going over some of these curses and the other stuff you can do, and just all the aspects of the combat that's not just like a shitty third person wand shooter like the past Harry Potter games. The fact that it's a full RPG, open world, classes, all this lore for you to jump into, set in a completely different time than what we're entirely used to, but still having that sort of knowledge. I'm just, I can't, my brain's starting to like fog and steam because I just need it now. and I can't think straight. I want it. I need it.
Well, not long to wait.
No,
not long
to wait. unless you're on some older consoles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Unless you want it on the Switch.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
I think the thing with Hogwarts Legacy is that it's also, again, it's, I try not to buy into the pre-release hype that can really ruin a game's release if it's not what you expect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But every time I see Hogwarts Legacy, this game seems like much more than I thought it was going to be in a real positive way. Like every time they show, like when they first showed, like, oh yeah, just hop on your broom and go explore outside Hogwarts. And it's actually pretty expansive. I'm like, oh, that's not what I thought this game was going to be at all, but I love that.
Like a trailer comes up. It's like, you want to go to Hogsmeade? Fucking go to Hogsmeade then. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, this game has built on itself over time. It has delivered everything they're showing is showing more and going, okay. I mean, I'm kind of the opposite. As soon as I see a game and they start to hype it, I'm all aboard. I'm all aboard that fucking hype.
He jumps on immediately.
I love it. And when it disappoints, okay. Well.
Yeah.
That's when it disappoints, that's fine. We get back on the next
one. It's
fine. But yeah, I am all in on this one as well. Not long to wait, 10th of February. So, yeah.
Less than 2 months.
Is that literally all three of you having the same
answer? No, mine is Diablo 4. I've said it a number of times.
Yes.
I've said it a number of times.
Well, yeah, Diablo but Ben, you said earlier this year that Elden Ring's your favourite game of all time and then went back on the pod to say, I want God of War to be my favourite game this year, which is just, you know, you're worryingly inconsistent.
Pete, you completely missed the point yet again. whenever I play a new game, I want it to be the best game of all time. Like, is that not what everybody wants to do when they play a new game? They want it to be the best it could possibly be.
You are so pure.
You've managed your expectations exactly. into your mid-30s as well. Yeah.
This is what I want. It doesn't mean it's going to happen, but this is what I want every single time.
I cannot wait for your review of Skull and Bones then.
Yes. I want so hard for that to be a good game. The best game of all time.
Oh, God.
I think it's got a pretty good chance.
yeah, I hear this.
It was the only game of all time.
You know what I think it's done? I think it's looked at a lot of other games that have all these great mechanics and picked out some really good ones. And
yeah, I would say some of the best mechanics, the most well-loved.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's not raise the blinds and look at everything else has to offer. Let me just check my closet. There's got to be something in the box down here.
But yeah, I do think Diablo 4 is going to be my most anticipated game of the year. We haven't mentioned it much here because I don't really know much about the series. I haven't played it before, but obviously From Software are bringing out Armored Core 6. So there'll be a big hype around that. And that'll be like the sleeper one for me, where I'll probably be really hyped for it, even though I've got no real basis to be because I don't know much about it. But yeah, looking forward to that one.
That's where I'm at with Armored Core, because I also have never really played it.
Yeah.
I trust From Software to make good games. But all you see, like, the headlines coming out, and it's like, don't expect it to be like a Souls-like. Don't expect it to be So I don't really know what to expect, but I trust them to make good games.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Nice.
And Pete, yours is Starfield, obviously.
Obviously. We're not getting away from that. It remains a Starfield.
We've been there.
I'm obviously also super pumped for a coming patch in World of Warcraft, but that's not a new release. It's classic. It's been out for 12 years. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking forward to seeing it again. So I don't feel I can add that. Starfield is the one. I don't think there's really anything else we need to add. I'm guessing we're all looking forward to 2023, though.
I'll say what I said at the beginning of 2022. This seems like it's going to be the best year in gaming.
No, that was 2015 and we all know it. Yeah.
Well, I think that there are a lot of games that are currently announced that don't even have a release year attached to it. And I'm sure we'll see some of them this year.
Mm-hmm.
We talked last year a lot about my excitement for Doke V, which has also kind of gone.
Okay, V.
Yeah, it's gone radio silent.
Where the fuck is that gone?
It is. You are just daytime. It's great. It's wonderful.
You do get a skateboard. Wonderful. I'm a big fan of skateboard games, so like, that's where I'm hyped.
Okay.
It was gonna teach Pokemon games how they should look.
Right?
Yeah. We can't have an episode without mentioning wrestling real quick. AEW Fight Forever is happening. I don't even know if that game looks all that good. Yeah. But it's happening. I'm gonna play it.
Nothing about this. Amazing. Okay.
Yeah, it's wrestling. If you're not in on wrestling, then
I don't think I've played a wrestling game since my teens.
I played a WWE game fairly recently. And they've got that WrestleQuest. Is that the name of it? The one coming out, the indie.
That was supposed to come out this year. Obviously, it's going to be next year at this point. That also looks awesome.
Who is the wrestler guy?
Jeff Jarrett.
He was on Twitter. That's the only thing I'll remember from that booth. Jeff Jarrett was on Twitter.
Yeah, we were at PAX East, and they had the WrestleQuest booth, and they're like, oh, Jeff Jarrett's here, and he was just on Twitter. That's all he was doing.
Okay. I kept looking over to Dylan. I'm like, who are these people? What's going on? Should I shake his head? Should I go say hi? Like, what is this?
Fantastic. God, you two are almost as difficult to wrap up as Ben and Eddie and Kurt.
I know. We have problems.
We just are. If you've listened to the ending of any of our episodes ever, it is just a hard cut of just random bullshit because we don't know when to stop.
Yeah. Yep.
That makes an awful lot of sense. And on that note, it is GG.
Don't we want to like?
No, we're done. Socials, we're done. And things
like that. No, you really want it to a hard end. No,
you can do your socials. Come on.
All right, I'll do ours, and then you do yours. I'll do ours, you do yours. So, if you want to email us, it's podcast@grumpygamers.co.uk. You can tweet us at Grumpy Gamers Pod. We got a YouTube channel, Grumpy Gamers Podcast. And we're on Twitch, Grumpy Gamers Podcast, and we stream on Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. And how about you guys?
Just go to offshoregamescast.com. We got everything there. Please check out all the awesome guest posts for Game of the Year. Check out Grumpy Gamer stuff before their Game of the Year. They kind of do a little preview, which is fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Game of the Year next week for us. But definitely check out that website because it's got so many different gaming podcasts. If you're looking for different gaming podcasts because for some reason ours and yours aren't enough, you need more.
it's weird.
It's weird. It's fucking stupid. But if you needed more, then there's loads there. There's Twitch streamers and the works all on that website. So yeah, definitely check that out.
And the start of season 4 is coming right around the corner.
Yeah. It's actually this. This is the start of season 4. We're here.
You've rounded the corner.
Welcome to season 4. Right, that's the end now, Pete. You can do
that. That is GG. Yes.
GG.